Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody. The report, paragraph 5.3, tells us that the Stafford branch of the Royal British Legion was established over 100 years ago this year, and is one of the oldest branches in Staffordshire. And so, what fitting honour could we bestow upon the Royal British Legion Stafford branch but to propose confer honorary freedom of the borough? I think it's particularly apposite here because we know that Stafford has a number of residents who have come here from other parts of the country and indeed other parts of the world and have made Stafford their home. The British Legion, one of its main provisions, is to give financial, social, and emotional care to members of our British Armed Forces, past and present, and families. And so I would like to propose, as set out in the report, that this council resolves to grant the freedom of the borough to the Royal British Legion Stafford branch.
What's a second?
I was going to ask a second. Councillor Godfrey, thank you. Does anyone wish to speak? Councillor Godfrey.
Councillor Pearson.
I hope so. I'm not looking like a soul.
The Labour Group are very happy to support the granting of the freedom of the borough to be Royal British Legion Stafford branch of Mercy Senior Year. British Royal Legion do great work and receive the Legion Council Service. The Stafford branch always supports the big events. I'm sure we've all noticed that over the years. And as a past mayor, I can say that it's absolutely simply not hard at work with the good work that we do. Very finally, Mr. Mayor, the probably most important of the Royal British Legion of Custodians is the property deal. But not only does that raise money, it reminds us of the sacrifices made by servicemen and women over the last 15 plus years. So I'm very happy to second this.
Thank you, Captain. Does anyone else wish to speak? In that case, we'll move straight to a vote.
If members could clearly indicate so we can see who's voting.
All those in favour, can you clearly indicate? Thank you.
It's unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
That was unanimous. Thank you very much. We now move on to the main agenda of the meeting. Item 1 is approval of the minutes. Do we have anyone who would propose the approval of the minutes? Yes, is that seconded? All in agreement?
Aye.
We've already had apologies for absence on the previous agenda, so declarations of interest, we've had any? Then we move on to item 5, public question time. The first one being from...
Sorry, just mere announcements next.
Oh, I'm sorry, are there any announcements? I did not have it. It's really the council have any announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There are two matters that I would like to address the council about. And the first matter, I'm delighted to say, relates to someone who has turned up. He's at the back of the room. And we know that Bob Keane is very sadly retiring from local government. He hasn't been a long-standing officer of Stafford Borough Council, but he's been a long-standing public servant through many, many years, and has been a long-standing member of the shared service arrangements with Stafford. And throughout the whole of that time that I've been in the cabinet, it's been wonderful to have somebody with the know-how, the excellence, the ability to turn to someone and know that the answer is going to be there for you. Not just in terms of factual answers, but also incredibly valuable advice. We know that over the years in his attendances at full council meetings particularly, he has expanded upon some of the more complex reports, so things like financial planning, investments and so on. And so it's really been a great sadness that we lose someone the ability of Bob from local government. And when I've made these types of speeches before about officers retiring, I've often said how capable they are. But I can say in Bob's case that he is one of the most exceptionally talented officers I have ever come across, and so I would like to thank you personally, Bob, for all of your hard work and service. From my group from the Cabinet, we would just like to say a few more words. I'm indebted in the main to Councillor Trowbridge for this. So Bob Keane, boy, he's mean. Keeps every pen, never letting go of a bean. Accounting, he is a marvel so precise and clean. Borrow money, never. Read my lips, he says so smoothly with a sway of his hips. Invest and save is usually his way. Put it aside for a rainy day. We all wish him good luck as he retires from the team and good health and happiness while living the dream. We'll miss you less, Bob, as we spend, just to give you a nightmare, our dear trusted friend. Thank you so much, Bob, and congratulations on your retirement. Stafford, we have a rate currently, as of today, of 424.7 per 100,000 of the population, which will roll compares slightly better in terms of the stature rates, a bit better than the West Midlands rates, and a bit better than the English rates. The general
trend for all of our local authorities in Staffordshire is a rise in numbers
to levels which mean that some of our officers, particularly environmental health, as I've said, are now more heavily involved in test and trace follow-ups. The reason that I wanted to raise this evening was that whilst we go back to what I've called and what our officers have called the response phase, I think it's important to understand that some of our services may be affected. And so, for example, with the issues around having to self-isolate, and also particularly because of the national shortage of HGV drivers, there may be a time where Veolia, for example, our waste collection services, might be affected. At the moment, they're not, but I wanted to tell you that now so that you would be aware of the reasons why. It's also important to tell you that services, for example, like our crematorium and also our parking attendants are resorting to a bubble process again, just so that hopefully continuity of service can take place. So I'm getting to use the mayor to allow me just to praise the council of the petition. I thought it important just to say those few words and to wish all our colleagues well, and hopefully we will ultimately leave the pandemic.
Thank you, Councillor Farrell. Now, we do move on to question time. The first question is from Mr. Neil Thomas.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council. My question is as set out on the wall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Neil, for those questions. In relation to question one, yes, I have read the proposals of the Planning Commission as you asked me to confirm. In relation to questions two and three, I'm going to combine the two because I think it's important just to understand the context in which the Boundary Commission puts forward its proposals. So firstly, it's important to recognise that the Boundary Commission for our area is completely independent. It's impartial and non-departmental, and so anything that it puts out there is, as I said, completely impartial. We know that a number of proposals have been set out, and I think it's also important to note that these relate to our parliamentary constituencies and not to our borough wards. And so I'm not going to say too much about whether or not I think it's appropriate as a council that we make representations. I think it's very clear from the guidance that's published that any individual, any group is free to make their own representations to support or to criticise the proposals. But obviously we know that the considerations specifically relate to things like geography, size, existing boundaries, local ties, and so on. Just a couple of figures that I think are important. The Stafford electorate at the moment is 103,829, and the proposals relate to constituencies that must have numbers between 69,724 and 77,062. And so, right currently, it's clear that Stafford Borough will need to have at least two, if not more, constituencies. At the moment, of course, we have two. In relation to the areas within our borough, there are two in particular that I just want to mention very quickly. And they are, of course, the Stone constituency that is affected more significantly than elsewhere by the proposals. And I think the issue here is the combination of a seat of Stone Great Wirral. And so one would question perhaps the geography, local ties, and so on. And I leave it to individuals or groups to make their own proposals, representations. Stafford is another area loses some parts to the south of the borough, but then gains areas including most of Eccleshrew, Lollyheads, and Whitmore. And so, as I've said, the way the question is put, I think, is informative in the context of what the Boundary Commission proposes. But given that the proposals on a parliamentary basis will affect political groups in different ways, my own answer to the question that is put to me is that I would not suggest that it would be appropriate for the council as a whole to make representations, but as I've intimated, individuals and or groups are free to do so. That concludes my statement on this just now.
No, Mr. Thomas, do you have any clarification on that motion? The next question is from Maureen Agathon. Maureen Agathon.
Good evening, thank you. In view of the fact that there has been a great increase in vehicular traffic in Stafford over the past 6 months, and knowing that car emissions are one of the chief causes of atmospheric pollution, what measures do you propose to put in place to encourage people to use their cars less, thus empowering them to play their part in working towards the borough's green strategy to reduce carbon emissions by 2040, though indeed 2030 would be a more realistic target if we are taking our climate emergency seriously.
Do we have a cabinet member who would like to respond to this?
Hello. Thank you. I know I really appreciate the question, and as you've taken the time to read that out, I will give you a response. I apologise, it's a little lengthy, but I think it's important due to the amount of detail that is in the document. Firstly, we haven't seen an increase in traffic as much in our past 6 months as it's sort of levelling up with pre-COVID levels. So although it may appear that there's substantially more traffic on the road, the fact is that there's been an awful lot of traffic removed from our road over the past 18 months due to the restrictions. Now we're seeing that things are lifted slowly but surely, we'll find more and more of these vehicles are back on the road. And that's why that sort of, it feels that that's the situation. The adoption of the new local plan will seek to make provision to provide purpose of the new development that supports active travel throughout the borough. This is by allocating land for new development in the most sustainable locations, which enables residents to walk or cycle to services and facilities in existing settlements. Proposing fiber optic broadband is embedded in new development, enabling people to work from home and getting free to travel to the office. And we are seeing that more and more, both in the borough and the council locally, where hybrid meetings are becoming more mainstream. And where it's possible to hold a meeting virtually, we aim to do so. Unfortunately, some of those meetings do have to be held publicly, such as the one we have today. Proposing new development, which is likely to result in increased increased volume of traffic is located close to transport hubs that are feasible, such as railway stations, seeking to ensure sustainability development through design principles, integrated green infrastructure principles, and encourage walking and cycling. Although the transition to electric vehicles will not result in a reduced number of cars on the road, it will mean that travel by a private car will not contribute to the carbon emissions in the local area. Therefore, the new local plan is seeking to enable the transition to super low emission vehicles. And this can be done by proposing that the design of new developments allows for the installation of electric vehicle charging points, as well as the measures enabling through the new local plan where a number of projects being progressed through Council's wider climate change and green recovery work programme, which will result in a reduction of private car usage. And these include the adoption of a health and all we do approach, consisting of health, housing and environment health departments work, to encourage local communities to participate in a more active lifestyle, including taking shorter journeys on foot or by bicycle. The Council's website provides links to a range of resources which explains the importance of active travel when an individual is looking to reduce their carbon footprint. In 2020, the Council adopted its climate change and green recovery strategy. Objective two of this strategy is to work in partnership with members and local communities to take action which will contribute to carbon neutrality and sustainable development. It is anticipated that through this work, the importance of active travel and electrification vehicles will enable an individual to reduce their own carbon footprint. The Council has already installed cycle parking installed for community centres across the borough, allowing residents to travel by bicycle. It's worth noting as well that the County Council is working on a cycling angle strategy alongside the Borough Council. At this stage, it's important to acknowledge that the provision of electric vehicle charging points is the responsibility of several organisations, including the public and private sectors. However, the Council acknowledges their role in the distribution of charging points and is taking steps to make its contribution on the car parking sector. For example, an application for government funding to provide electric charging points at Staffordshire Council car parks adjacent to residential clusters, a nearing point of submission. This includes the potential for charging hub at the Dodson car park. Existing charging points on Staffordshire Council car parks will be located e.g. at the Windmill and Civic Office car parks. Those car parks are not covered in the first items that I have mentioned will have charging points provided when they are refurbished. There will be provision of electric charging points for use by both taxis and private owned cars on South Walls, Broad Street, which is the Wilkinson's car park, and Crown Street Stone this financial year as part of the grant award already obtained from Central Government. This Council is committed to ensuring air quality in the borough is regularly monitored to ensure a safe environment for our local residents. The most recently produced air quality annual's latest report, produced in line with the Environment Act, found that the air quality standards are met in Staffordshire and that there is no air quality management areas which would be required. The findings of the 2021 ASR remain that the air quality standards in Staffordshire will be complied with and there is no need to declare an air quality management area. And it's also worth noting the air quality annual report will be going to our own community garden streets and our new lands on the 16th of November. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairman. I've got very little to add to what Councillor has said. It's a very comprehensive plan. I just thought you'd be interested to see one part of what we are doing, in the sense that we are in parts of the time, but that they actually release the town in the daytime and the evening. The proposals for the redevelopment of Eastgate Street will involve another 100 plus houses. The windmill sites like the one at Holston on the Litchfield Road, that's got 300 houses are there, and that's within a walking distance. That's commercial permitted development. And then finally, the new Gateway site, which is the big site of the station that's going to be redeveloped, is just short of 900 houses. So what is going to happen is that more and more people will live in town and will use the town, but it will be transformative. I should also just add that the modelling for the large sites that is taking place and has taken place, which is the northern area of the town, which is being developed large scale, and possibly Fields, which is the area around Newport Road. Those big plans required a master plan which includes detailed transport mitigation, so the developers are required to make provision for buses, walking and cycling routes, which Jonathan's already mentioned. And we have a design guide for developers and applicants, and as the local plan works through the system, we should be strengthening that to reflect all the issues of climate change, nature, and well-being, and so on. And finally, what is not perhaps at this point is that all of this will involve increasing the amount of green space in the town and our provision for nature. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. I have had a communication, but this is not a public debate, it's a simple question and answer session to the Cabinet. So, is the inquiry clarification of those answers? This is, thank you. The third and final question is from Roger Oldfield, who I believe is not present. Would anybody like to?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It was a question we still asked about the stadium.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. These questions that we've got before us tonight, are they questions to the specific cabinet members, or are they questions to the council? Now, I would suggest if they're questions to the council, if they actually get asked about this as well.
Mr. Mayor, we only have 15 minutes for public question time. They are specifically to a named councillor, and in the absence of the named councillor, a cabinet member may reply. Now, this particular one, it is cross-cutting, and if both cabinet members felt they wanted to input, it does seem suitable for you to allow that. But we do have to keep it to a question and answer and keep it within the 15 minutes, because there is another question to be asked now as well.
Okay.
So just to be clear,
these questions are to the cabinet, even though problems were written for the council, the questions of the council. Now, I would suggest we're all members of the council, and therefore we'd be entitled to announce our views on these particular questions. Bearing in mind, you just said it for 50 minutes.
Mr. Mayor, it's a rule. Rule 11, Rule 11.3, each question must give the name and address of the questioner, must identify the member of the council to whom it is put. So the question can be put to any member of the council individually, but if that member isn't present, then the leader or a cabinet member may reply.
And it says that in there?
It's in the Rules 11, yeah.
Thank you. We now move on to the question from Mr. Roger Oldfield, who I believe is not present at the moment.
This is Al Cocker, read out Mr. Oldfield's question.
Mrs. Al Cocker, do you wish to read the question out?
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to point out that when I got the email telling me about the meeting tonight, I was told that it was at 7:30. And only because I always like to be really early was I able to get here by just about 7. So I wonder if notifications could be a bit more accurate in future. this month sees the second anniversary of the declaration of a climate emergency. In a press release about the January 2020 consultation on the climate change and green recovery strategy, you said, "This is everyone's responsibility, and we need to work with and have the support of our whole community." How has the Council so far worked with the whole community and sought to gain its support?
Councillor Crouch, thank you. Thank you very much for the question. Indeed, the climate emergency is everyone's responsibility, and we do need to work with and support our whole community. It is widely publicised that the Council declared a climate emergency in July 2019 and committed to reduce emissions from its own activities by 2040. Since that day, officers have formulated a climate change and green recovery strategy that was subject to public consultation. The approval of the strategy was delayed as the country went into national lockdown during March 2020. The impact of this means that all of the resources in the Council will be redirected to providing support to vulnerable residents, communities and businesses. And quite rightly so. Our strategy was approved by this Council in November 2020 and implemented in December. The strategy set out the direction of travel for the authority, and the first priority area was to get our own house in order, which is in line with the declaration we made of reducing emissions from our own activities. That said, we will appoint a full-time climate change officer, and we have, and we've also been working in partnership with all of our statutory districts, Keele University, and the Centre for Alternative Technology to map out what is required to enable all the authorities to meet their carbon zero targets. In addition to this, we are currently in the process of setting up a small working group that will consist of stakeholders and community representatives, and this group will work with us to start developing our approach to community engagement. A membership of this group will be by invitation only.
Thank you, Councillor Crouch. We now move on to item
any six. Clarification questions. Is there any clarification for Mr. Aylcock is asking?
Oh, 21. Mrs. Aylcock, which I shall interrupt you.
Because I certainly don't get the impression
it's a question of clarification.
It's a question of clarification, if you understand. Do you need the answer clarified on any point?
Well, yes. That there isn't actually engagement with the whole community. And people who are interested, people who approach the council, often don't get their emails answered, even a petition with nearly 400 signatures. It's not replied to, and members of the public are able to ask the question every 6 months at these full council meetings. So I don't really feel there is very much engagement with the general community.
Would you like to respond to that, Councillor Crouch?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the question. I mean, public consultation for starters is engagement, and that involved everybody within the board. We'd already stated in the question that we asked by or on behalf of Mr. Oldfield the progress we're making in relation to climate change and engagement with the community. We have widely reported that we undertook a public consultation in relation to our climate change and recovery strategy, and that we've been working with a number of different organisations in relation to that delivery plan. Myself and officers of this council have met with different community groups, so I will ask you to contact me separately to let me know who it is that you feel you haven't yet had the opportunity to meet with. And in relation to the public question or raising questions about issues at council meetings, the rules do not allow the same questions to be asked within a 6 month period in which it would be raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Crouch. That concludes the public question time. We now move on to the Council's second session. I invite Councillor Crouch to ask his question.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do appreciate that over the last 2 years we've faced considerable difficulties with COVID, and that only recently have we had the zero carbon officers that were appointed. So I can say that these things do take time, but on the issue of Tea Party, there doesn't appear to be great deal of progress made. And as I pointed out on previous occasion, Staffordshire as a whole, but Stafford in particular, is facing a sort of tree triple whammy, in the sense that the West Coast line has seen the decimation of many, many mature trees as part of Network Wales programme to remove trees along the road. It's understood that approximately 10 million trees throughout the country have been felled. We've also, of course, seen the widening of the motorway through Stafford, which has involved, again, the felling of many, many mature trees. And we are now facing the wholesale destruction, not just of individual trees, but of forests, through the destruction of HS2. So I do think that not only is it something which we should be doing in any case, but that simply in order to try and remedy some of the destruction that has taken place and will be taking place, that there is an onus upon us to do something about this. Again, I recognise that the central government hasn't exactly been forthcoming in support for local authorities in tackling climate change. The National Audit Office recently pointed this out. But the council does have one. There are areas where we could be planting trees. It would be a very good way of engaging with the community. And I think there are landowners who would willingly cooperate with the borough in a tree strategy. I do hope that this is something that will be given serious consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Parks. Thank you. I apologise if I'm not successful yet. Firstly, on the response to that, the current position with regards to the strategy is that strategic planning, placement of the areas, forward planning, will consider policies including those related to trees. So the new local plan process and lead on the production of tree strategy from this council, which will input from a suitable qualified agriculturalists. The new local plan is currently scheduled for adoption in October 2022 before policy requirement can be applied to new developments through the planning application process. The council is responsible for a number of trees in the borough, and our operations service already has and have a maintenance plan. In addition to this, the council are currently investigating options for carbon sequestering and removing carbon from our atmosphere, and for example by planting more trees, and we will work with landowners in relation to this. And you talk about working with partners and other people. I mean, there is some awareness in the past 18 months, 11,000 trees. Council does it, one of our own councils, 7,500 trees. Normally park 330,000 trees. So that's 450,000 trees planted in this borough in this past 18 months. And you are right, we do have a roadmap, and I will be taking a document to Cabinet on August 5th, where we will be setting out one of our own nature reserves, which will be over 40 acres and will give us the opportunity to plant trees as well. So this authority and this administration, along with all our partners, take trees very, very seriously. And as I mentioned to you before when you raised this question, this is something I am extremely passionate about. I want to see trees, the right trees, in the right place. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to comment on this? Bearing in mind we only have 10 minutes to reserve.
Just
7,000 trees not so long ago. Council of Dodson provided 7,500. And Norwood Park, it was 330,000 2 years ago. It's now 450,000. For those members who don't know, at Norwood Park, there is the second place in the world where there is climate change experimentation going on, conducted by Birmingham University. It's in Hathwood. It's in an area of about 2 to 3 acres, surrounded by tall pillars of carbon dioxide, which is fed and monitored and can take it with the wind direction and so on and so forth. It's an extremely interesting project. If people have not seen it, I would recommend that they go to Norway. I saw an invitation the other day from Ecclesfield Parish Council, inviting other parish councils to go. It is an extremely interesting experiment, and I would recommend anybody who can get there, should get there, and see what's going on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Smith. Now we've gone to item 7, the notice of motion. I'd like the Councillor Cook to propose a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Can I say to begin with, this is absolutely not a party political issue. It is, however, absolutely an animal welfare matter, and that's the real focus, and that is the only focus, actually, of this motion. Now, this actually brought to my attention by a local resident. And I know that he will look on the RSPCA website while he got some more information. Mr. Mayor, we know that animal ownership is a big responsibility, and people should be prepared, be aware of what's going to happen, what may be coming in terms of animal ownership, how they should respond. But by the RSPCA's figures, between 2015 and 2020, there were tip of the iceberg, the very tip of the iceberg of 120 cases reported to the RSPCA of live animals being given as prizes in England. Now, a very large number of those animals were in fact goldfish, but there were also cases of dogs, ducklings, and horses being given as prizes. Now, under the Animal Welfare Act 2006, Mr. Mayor, it's an offence to give an animal as a prize to anyone under the age of 16. Although I have to say, that is usually honoured in the breach rather than in the adults. The RSPCA, there is an exception, within a family context. That's okay, within a family context. But the RSPCA believes, then we ought to go further and have the same legislation as they have in Scotland. The Animal Health and Welfare Scotland Act of 2006, which states very simply that it is an offence to give an animal as a prize, regardless of age, unless it is within a family context. Now, Mr. Mayor, it then goes on to talk about goldfish. Particularly because so many of these are given as prizes each year. Goldfish evidently are very easily stressed and are the most often the fish that are won as prizes. They suffer miserably from shock, oxygen starvation, or they die from changes in water temperature, and many will die before their new owners can get them home. There are all sorts of appalling things which have gone on with goldfish. But I thought it might be salutary to give you an example from my own experience. When I was about between 4 and 5 years old, I was living in Calcutta, India, and my Aya took me along to a fun fair. And I obviously achieved something in that fun fair because I came away with a prize of a goldfish, which I was delighted with.
4 and 5 years old. So when I got this goldfish home, I was so pleased with it. I wanted to get it out of its packaging, and it was in a plastic bag, as soon as possible, to show it to the family. So I plunged my hand into this bag and had a pincer movement over the goldfish. And to get it out, of course, it was struggling. I have a very young child, although with not much dexterity. I'm afraid my finger and thumb went through the goldfish's body, and I hope it killed it instantly, because I would be in the community. Well, as you can imagine, I was in floods of tears, having killed this goldfish, and the family had pledged that they were buying another goldfish to replace this one, as a way of assuaging my tears, Mr. Mayor. Well, that worked, but of course, the family had more sense than to buy me another goldfish. They immediately forgot about it, as did I, Mr. Mayor. And it was only several years later that the family revealed, you know, this whole thing and told me the story. Now, that is just one example of getting a pet, not knowing anything about it, being totally unprepared, and killing it very soon after one was here. And that is the fate of so many of these creatures. And that's why it's an animal role. I hope, Mr. Mayor, that we can all gather around this motion and agree it is serious. We would like to do something about it. The other part of this motion is that we actually write to the government as well, asking for the law to be changed so that it is not allowed anymore that one should be able to give animals as prizes, regardless of whether people are under 16 or not, except under particular family context, as is the case in Scotland. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much indeed, everyone, for listening to me. That's all I have to say on the matter.
I believe Councillor Hodgson is the second motion. Would you like to speak now, Councillor Hodgson?
As Councillor Hodgson pointed out, the RSPCA is currently receiving calls from members of the public about the use of pets, predominantly goldfish, as prizes at fairgrounds. This is a cruel, outdated tradition which has been banned. Councillors across the country are being urged by the RSPCA to take action in their communities, and they are urging local authorities to take action to ban this practice. A number of local authorities have already done this, and as Councillor Cook pointed out, it's been banned in Scotland. We should join them in banning this outdated practice. If children do want goldfish, they can plan with their parents to buy them and prepare properly. I'm sure fairgrounds can provide prizes that will replace those goldfish.
Do anyone else want to speak, Councillor Rush?
Hello.
Thank you very much for that. I just learned today about Castle Cook, a traumatic experience with the goldfish. Well, we can't make, I don't have a problem with this. I'm an animal lover myself, so I do understand it's cool. It is something that we can make a condition of fire on the outside of that. Giving off live animals as prizes is not allowed. That's not an issue, that's quite easy. As regards to writing to government, that is more of a political call. I can't see me personally, and we'll look after the issues that affect that.
Is that an answer, Mr. Speaker? Councillor Rush.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're in the middle of the worst pandemic that this country and most of the world know about. And is this the sort of thing that the opposition want to bring up and discuss when there are more important things going on in the world? Is it at the end of the watch? Will we not be allowed to go angling anymore? Will our fishermen have to stop fishing? Will our game shooters, our game keepers have to stop shooting game? It just goes on and on and on, and I'm sorry, Council for all this.
Council Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Fairly disappointing. Perhaps I've lost his comments there, but it's a goldfish, it's a man. It's a goldfish, it's a creature. And you should be treated with respect like all creatures should be treated with respect. And it's very important that actually across his comments seems to belittle that. Now, it may only seem like a goldfish to certain members of the conservative movement, but it's a small creature that needs protection. And it's a thin end of the wedge, because if you start treating goldfish in a bad way, it gets worse, doesn't it? Disrespect most of the things. Absolutely disgusting for that part of the council, because it's really easy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What is very regrettable is the comments about how at a time like this in COVID, we've got more and more things to think about. Has the speaker forgotten that the transmission of COVID is considered very likely to be from the sale of live animals? And I said the most likely explanation is that this is considered to be from the sale of live animals. And the more we intrude into the world of wildlife, the more likely we are to be encountering new diseases. That is a fact. And I do think that comment is most regrettable, and indeed trying to extend it to an illogical conclusion that banning this and banning that, I think is even more regrettable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Longman.
Thank you, Mr. Peter. I'm absolutely appalled at how this will cost. But you're actually trivializing this by bringing it down to the lowest of the lowest value. You're inferring that at this time, we are not entitled to bring a serious subject to this council for us to discuss as a council and behave in an adult manner and take sensible decisions. Decisions which are going to help both animal people and also other human beings. And you are trivializing it. Absolutely shocking. And I wonder if it's just typical of the rest of the group where you just feel that you can trivialize everything that is not actually dealing with any subject that you feel is important. Thank you, Mr.
Councillor
the least bit surprised at the councillor's comments. Councillor Cross's political family during the pandemic allowed human beings to willfully die, why should they even toss about animals? Excuse me, if people, Mr. Mayor, are knowingly infected with COVID,
motion second from Thomas. If we could just stop arguing about these and finish what we wish to say, Councillor Cressy, and I'll move on to someone else.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It seems like that some members over there were offended by my comments. But if we had situations like when people were knowingly, when we knew they were infected and they were deliberately being discharged to care homes,
that's not a subject of the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Farrington, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I find this debate incredible. It's right that we should care for the welfare of animals in all their forms. I think it's also right to comment that firstly, primary legislation exists in relation to the Animal Welfare Act and the statutory responsibilities passed by our Houses of Parliament to deal with these very things. I do find it rather extraordinary, however, that I had the same email. I don't know whether it was the same resident as Councillor Cook or probably a different one, but I would guess probably put my house on the rear that we all have the same email. And I think the point of Councillor Cross's comments was that in the difficult times that we exist in, it's curious that this should come forward as a motion of debate when there are considerably more urgent and more difficult things that we need to deal with. I think that other comments in the chamber have been ill-advised to suggest that anybody on this side of the chamber does not respect or care for welfare animals. Is simply a misguided comment, Mr. Mayor, and I take exception to any suggestion to the contrary. Thank you.
Cook has the last
speaker. I have two more speakers, and then I have three more speakers, and then we'll go back to Councillor Cook. Councillor Smith.
It doesn't have time, is it? This is a motion on notice.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
My comment is, we've got to treat all creatures with respect, that's what was said. So why do we employ pest controls? Last year, I had thousands of wasps in my back bedroom. I had to kill every one. I had to don myself with all manner of clothes and goggles to get rid of them. I have mouse traps in my yard. Today I've killed slugs in my lettuce, and I've killed a caterpillars on my cabbages. Where do you draw the line? The RSPCA are a government political organisation. Goldfish are pests. But this gets past. It'll be fishing nets. The biggest participation sport in the country. They will have a go at that next. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is first of all, this motion to the council. I thought, obviously, the council's going to be everyone in the council, obviously, all my speeches, and everyone wants to hear something. So I thought, obviously, I was wrong. Just as we have suspect on most of those things. It's awful because I think it's the people who turn the legs. Anyway, I think it's actually really perhaps times we want to talk about more serious things than some people consider to be more serious things. I therefore look forward to the next council agenda and something on this because it doesn't sort of audience and it's about a third of the board council meeting, and very little on here. So perhaps we can have some more reports from members of the cabinet. And so we can debate subjects in this council. Otherwise, you might get more debates about the other issue.
Councillor Kent.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Mayor. At the moment, I'm almost deaf because there's something wrong with my ear and earring. But I will say this to you. You should sit and watch people's faces. Because people think this is hilarious. Now, I've heard that other people got email. I didn't get the email. So I was quite surprised when my colleague brought this up. But he brought it up on behalf of a member of the public, asking this council to look at it. Now, we all know that when the fair's on, the street fair in the middle of the town, there will be that catchment. Fish, and you don't catch a fish, you catch something with a hook on it, and the gift is a goldfish. And as he said, as my colleague said earlier, the one that he had, he was foolish enough to put his hand in, but most of them die within a couple of weeks. But the point about it is, he's raised it on behalf of a member of the public, and to be quite honest, this is a say to the town, to the chief executive, isn't it time that we went back to the council chamber? Because this is not a good experience to be on the council of Mourne. This is not very good. And I have to say this, that looking around this room, there are too many councillors absent. And there were too many councillors absent from the last one. And it's about time people started to realise this is not a good place to meet. And that was different. That was different from saying that people should expressions should be careful.
I'll go back to Councillor Farrington for one last speaker and then I'll return to Councillor.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Councillor Camp has just raised a couple of issues, so I really feel a duty bound to respond. The reason we're having a meeting here relates, as I understand it, to the legal requirement to publish the venue so many days prior to the meeting taking place. And so at the time that the existing guidelines were in place nationally, we were unable to advertise anywhere other than this venue. And secondly, as far as my own party is concerned, you're right, there are a number of absences this evening. They are predominantly to do with, unfortunately, having to self-isolate. And so that is not really on both accounts. Our chief executive, although he's glorious and wonderful, has no control over either of those matters. So I just really need to perhaps release those factual points, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Councillor Cook, I'll come back to you on the subject and I will take the question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I must admit, for what seemed to be a trivial topic, we could take an awful long time discussing it, more than any other item on this agenda. I'm sorry that so many people seem to think it was a party political issue. It's not. It's an animal welfare issue. And the red goldfish are the main victims. There are other animals being mistreated because of the activities that go on in farm fairs and other similar places. Now, the first issue, I'm so sorry, the councillor who went on about hunting and all that sort of thing, it's irrelevant. I'm talking about this motion. Specifically talking about animals being given as pets. It's nothing to do with hunting or fishing or shooting or whatever you want to call it. And then another councillor seemed to think it was a thin end of the wedge and that we were going to then be attacking anglers. But there's nothing about that in the motion at all. It's just purely giving pets as prizes. Now then Councillor mentioned Bicou, other animals. Yes, Bicou. Bicou kills the gardeners, who kills slugs, for example, its chemicals and so on. Hopefully, we're now learning more and more about good gardening being organic gardening. They use other methods. You don't necessarily kill creatures like that. You use other methods as part of your gardening process. Look at gardening magazines and follow these sorts of things now. Try to educate the public in terms of how you relate to those animals. That's fine. Goldfish aren't predators as far as I know. They don't come and attack you. They don't come and sting you. They don't come and bite you. They don't go around eating your plants or your grasses. So I don't see the relevance to that at all. Now another councillor, a couple, said, why are we discussing this issue when we have a COVID pandemic? Well, we should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We should be able to concentrate on a whole number of issues at the same time. But we can't, there's something wrong with us. If there's an injustice in regard to animals, then we should be able to discuss that in the midst of a COVID pandemic. If not, I think there's a fault in governance, of course. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm so sorry that this turned into a party political issue, just like anything. It's amazing how things just twirl around. but of the damage that's going to be to those animals. In fact, it's all it's about. It's not about anger. It's not about hunting and shooting the fisher. It's not about gulling creatures. It's about people, about animals given as pets. It's odious of them. And vote in that book. Thank you very much.
We'll take a vote now. Could I not show numbers of all those in favour of the motion, please? Those against? Motion is therefore carried. Item 8, draft equalities and inclusion policy 2021-2024. Council Clark, do you want to move up to the story?
I would love to, Mr. Mayor, but in fact, my cabinet colleague, Councillor Smith, is going to do the office for me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't intend to say a lot about this. This is an existing policy which was last refreshed in 2016, due for an update. The main change really is the paperwork at the back which talks about community impact assessments. These have always been carried out in the past, but never been documented. And the idea is that they, in the future, all the policies that the council put forward will be looked at from a community impact assessment point of view, which is auditable in the future. As I say, Mr. Mayor, it's a refresh policy, last updated in 2016. Thank you.
Does anyone wish to speak on this subject? Second. Does anyone else want to speak?
Does Councillor Clare want to speak?
Would you like to speak now, Councillor Clare?
No, you
didn't. Well, in that case, if no one else wants to speak, we'll just move to a vote. All those in favour? Item 9 is the Stone Town Development Plan adoption. Council meeting, if you want to do this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was simply going to say that we recommend, the Council recommends that the Stone Town Neighbourhood Plan be formally adopted as part of the statutory development plan for Stafford Borough following their referendum held on the 8th of 2021. Congratulations to Stone on producing their name of them.
Do we have a second of this?
I'm not sure how many of you know, but we were actually
In that case, we go to the vote. All those in favour?
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the